Hey, glad you're here. Today I'm talking with Linda Critelli. She is a French teacher of 34 plus years who is now retired and has started a second career. She's now cooking and has a cookbook. You're going to like this. Check it out.
They're not here for us. We're here for them. That's what it's about. Kids.
Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is all about assisting classroom teachers and school administrators to overcome the many walls or barriers that kids face. Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 is focused on helping you help kids achieve their dreams. As a note, I hope that you will stop by Stitcher or iTunes and leave me a star rating and a comment. That helps the show get noticed by more people. Thanks for listening and joining me week after week.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, welcome back. Steve here. Glad you're joining us. I got a great one for you today. Today I'm talking with Linda Critelli. She spent 34 plus years as a French teacher entirely in the Williamsville Central Schools, which is a well-respected, highly ranked suburban district as a suburb of Buffalo, New York. So, by the way, say hi to everybody, Linda.
Hello, everybody.
So I just want to want you to hear that she's definitely not from South Georgia. All right.
No, I am not. I am definitely not.
So the student population there in just outside of Buffalo is around 11,000 kids. Her certification is in secondary French. She taught all levels from French 1 to French 5 AP, always at the high school level. There are three high schools in the district, South, East, and North. She worked at both South and East, but never had to travel between the schools. Her son and daughter actually attended the North School. She does speak Italian and have a working knowledge of Spanish, but she was never asked to teach anything beyond the French classes. After retirement, she did some long-term and per diem substituting assignments in other languages, social studies, and even math. During her career, she served as an advisor to several extracurricular student activities, including PEP Club, It's Academic, French Club, and was co-advisor to our National Honor Society. Her professional responsibilities included being team leader of the foreign language, music, and art departments. She served as a New York State certified mentor, was a New York State Education Department turnkey trainer, was a language other than English curriculum writer, professional development presenter, and committee member of both the district and building level staff development teams. And in 2004, she was awarded an ELF grant, which was an education leave fund so that she could study in Paris. A lot of great information, incredible background. And what's really cool is that today we're going to talk about two things. She is a retired educator, has lots to share with us about the classroom, but she also has now turned to cooking and has produced a cookbook. And we're going to talk about that book in just a little bit. So with that all being said, Linda, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
Boy, you got a great history there and a lot of good stuff going on. And what I'd like to do before we get to your the focus of cooking, what I'd really like to do is talk about this. You know, you taught French for your whole career. The title of your book's called Sicilian with a French Accent, and inside the book, you talked about growing up Sicilian and what it meant to grow up Sicilian. How did you become a French teacher?
Well, you can't take Italian in the school I went to for high school, and there was no other place to study it except at the house. So a counselor suggested I take French, and after the first six words, I was hooked. I knew I liked the culture, the language, the whole history of the place, and it was close enough to Italian that I already sort of understood what was going on. And there it was. That started me off. When I was 14 years old, I knew that's what I wanted to do was to teach French.
That's excellent. That's excellent. Now, I just have a good appreciation for what we're getting ready to talk about, because last name Mileto, I got my Italian background.
Bumba.
So in looking at, as you became a French teacher, one of the things I wanted to ask you is, did you have inspiration to be a teacher from someone or some person? Did someone kind of inspire you to take on that French and be that French teacher?
Well, I think I always wanted to be a teacher. I think when I was five, my dad set up a little classroom for me in the living room and one in the basement. And all my toys lined up as the students. By the time I got to high school and I started taking French, it was actually my high school French teacher that really guided me into studying education in college. She was very convinced that that's what I should do. She was right. I loved it, and I got a job directly out of college. In fact, I wasn't even a graduate, and I'd already secured a job in Williamsville. So I knew it. That was what I wanted to do.
Perfect. Excellent. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I know a lot of young people. There's different reasons why they come to teaching. Some of it's because they were inspired from being a little kid. They always taught their, you know, made their siblings sit and listen to them, or, you know, or had this idea, just like what you just described, which is that there's always something about it's kind of in your blood going to happen.
Yeah, so. I love school. I love being in a school even today, even though I'm retired. If I do happen to stop in a school or a college campus, I feel quite at home in a school. I'm very, very happy to be in the educational process.
Excellent. Let's talk a little bit about let's talk about your teaching for just a little bit. What were your greatest challenges as a French teacher?
Well, people on the radio cannot see me, but I'm only 5 feet tall, and I only taught high school. So right from the freshman would be about my size, but by the time central part of the year was over, I was kind of looking at belt buckles. So I had to assert myself, but not really step out of who I am. And by kind of nurturing and mentoring and getting to know my students well, I was able to maintain who I am, and it took a little while to develop that. And when you first walk in the door and you're one of the littlest people in the building, you kind of have to let them know who you are in a different way. So that was kind of a challenge.
Most definitely. You know, that's funny because I had a high school, I took German in high school and in college, and my German teacher in high school, you guys were about the same height. So I didn't know if that it came with the territory
or something.
It does.
It's one of the requirements that we don't talk about.
Aha! Well, you know, one of the things that you were a New York State mentor, and mm-hmm. what I wanted to ask you is, I want to get into that just a little bit. Okay. Did you have a mentor or coach or someone who helped you learn the tricks of the trade?
Yes, I did. And he's still a very close friend. His name is Mike Calandra. He's about 82 now. And I visit him whenever I can. But when I first started teaching, his interview for me was very nerve-wracking to me because he's a native Frenchman. So we walked around the building. He talked to me about the gym, and he talked to me about the music department and about the different activities in the school. And we got back to his room. I said, okay, I'm ready for my interview. And he said, no, c'était là. That was it. And I said, oh. So we had interviewed walking, and that just endeared me to him immediately because he knew that would make me nervous, and he put me right at ease. So... And he helped me with tons of materials and projects and methodology, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful man. So he is definitely my mentor.
Excellent, excellent. So let's use that and pop forward because one of the things that I like to talk about, and I don't know if you've ever seen the kids' show Barney.
Yes.
But I watched a lot of Barney, and I have a lot of Barney songs that are stuck in my head, and
I can sing
these songs, but I'm not. But I'm not going to sing one right now.
Thank you.
But one of I am here, right? But I have one of my favorite episodes is a episode where the kids are sitting around, they're all bored, and they don't know what to do, and Barney shows up, and he's like, I got a solution to this. And he shows up, and he has this giant bag, and he puts the bag on the table, and of course, through the magic of television, he's able to pull all kinds of things out of the bag. And then they sing the Barney Bag song. Well, what I like to use is that as an idea of what teachers need. They need their own Barney bag. They need that bag of tricks, that bag of strategies, and techniques that they go to when something works, something doesn't work, let me try this and that sort of thing. And mm-hmm. and usually, you know, brand new teachers have that, it's very limited, and even sometimes veterans, if the, you know, if things change over time and so forth, they need help rebuilding mm-hmm. that Barney bag. Mm-hmm. What I wanted to kind of talk about, because since you were a mentor for the state of Georgia, let me try that one again. Yeah, a little further north, Steve. All right. since you were a mentor for New York State, ta-da, I can get my history teacher, not geography, okay? anyway, tell me a little bit about what were some of the, you know, did you have some specific techniques that you like to focus on with the teachers?
I would advise new teachers the following. I would say, first of all, you have to know your subject matter. If you don't know your subject matter, the kids are going to see through you, and you're going to end up with management control, because they're thinking you're not competent at your subject matter. You also need to know your students. You should know their interests. You should know their strengths. And you need to know those things, because when you're thinking of activities, you might have a hands-on kid and you're trying to give him something very analytical, and he really just wants to get in there and make an Eiffel Tower out of clay and then talk about it in French rather than start with the talking. You'll lose them. So if you know your kids' interests, you know their what kind of learners they are and what their interests are. I brought a whole baseball lesson into my classroom one year because I had one girl and 11 boys in a French 1 class. And I thought, okay, this will be fun. We're going to talk about Christian Dior, and I'm going to have 10 snoozers and one little girl delighted. So I brought in Dior for her, and I brought in the baseball terms and some video and so forth. And they had a ball and learned every word cold. And also, you should know your colleagues, because when you work in a building, you want to be able to use interdisciplinary technique whenever possible. If your art teacher is doing a French art unit, get in there with it. Get the kids involved in that. The social studies, let's do the French Revolution. Okay, I can do a French Revolution too. So if you know your colleagues and you mingle well with them, you'll be more successful. You'll have more techniques, and share with other people. Always share. You have good idea. Five heads have five good ideas. So my mantra as a team leader was, do your job, pull your weight, and get along, and you'll always be successful.
Excellent advice. Excellent. I love that. Thank you so much for sharing. Before we leave teaching to talk about your cooking, I got to ask you this. Do you have a favorite memory from teaching?
Oh, God. 34 years in my classroom. I guess my favorite memory is just kind of walking in the door every morning and having 20-some smiling faces, really happy to be there, and me so happy to see them. I really always told the kids, if you find something you love to do, get somebody to pay you for it, and you'll never work a day in your life. And that's always how I felt. So it was kind of a gift. I can't even think of one single thing. And I know you asked me this question prior to the interview, and I loved my career. I really, really did. So all my memories were good ones. I had some spectacular students that still stay in touch. I see them from time to time. And I think that's probably the best part, was the relationships I made with some now beautiful adults, wonderful people.
That's awesome. It's something that it's hard to explain to people who have never taught, mm-hmm. and especially people who want to be critics of educators from the outside. What they don't understand is that a huge part of teaching are the connections that you make to get the kids excited about the subject matter, because they buy into you as a teacher way before they ever buy into your subject. And then once they buy into you, then, oh my gosh, then
you're done, you're sold.
You got it. And it's so cool when you run into them when they're 35, 36 years old, and you're someplace that you're not expecting it, and all of a sudden you hear your name called, and that's a neat thing.
So. I actually have worked with my former students who became French teachers, and they became colleagues, which was amazing. Totally amazing. Very brilliant kids that became brilliant teachers.
That's awesome. Now, I got to tell you, that would be a little strange for me if I was standing there working with the same person who I had taken classes from.
It was fun.
That's cool. Well, let's shift to your new focus.
Okay.
You have a cookbook called Sicilian with a French Accent, and I've watched you cooking some very yummy meals. Thanks for sending those YouTube videos. What or who inspired you to pursue cooking?
I'd have to give that credit to my mom. My mother was one of 10 children, and their mother died when my mother was only 12, and so they kind of had to raise each other. It was in the 30s when social services would have split the family, and so all the older siblings took over for the younger ones, and my mom was kind of assigned being the middle child, basically, of 10. Sewing and cooking, those were her two fortes. So as a self-taught chef, when I came along, she just assumed that I was going to be chopping and mincing from a very small age, very young age. And I kind of like to eat. So there you go. It's a marriage made in heaven. Let me cook it. I can eat it and share it and bring joy to people. And it just seemed like a natural thing to do.
Excellent. So before I can go anywhere else, I got to say, do you have a favorite dish that you like to prepare?
I love eggplant parmesan.
Nice.
That's what I love to make. That's what I love to eat. And Yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites.
So how long does it take you to make your sauce?
I have several kinds of sauce. So there are some quick ones, but the usual spaghetti and meatballs is about an hour and 15, hour and 20 altogether once you have it in the pan.
Nice. Do you make your own pasta?
I have. I buy good quality pasta when I can. I make terrific gnocchi.
Ah.
It's very good.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, this is bad because I'm starting to get very hungry. All right?
I'm sorry.
All is good. We have, what's funny is my grandmother, my Italian grandmother, she'd cook in the kitchen and she did all kinds of neat things. And just right now, you reminded me of all that, all those smells and the sauce and the different things. And
definitely.
She usually made some sort of red sauce and she'd make her different pasta dishes and depending on what it is that she was going to make for the day.
But cookies pastries.
Something like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all good stuff. So let's talk about the cookbook. I'm somebody who didn't think he needed his father to teach him how to make sauce. So I wish I had paid attention because my dad was a very good cook.
Oh,
and
nice.
He would make lots of sauce and then freeze lots of it. So we'd have it for a while. And that's where I liked a lot, like also sausage and peppers and stuff like that. And so I just need to know, is your cookbook the type that for someone like me who his children accuse him of being able to burn water, can I follow the recipes inside and be able to cook a decent Sicilian meal?
I think you can. I think the cookbook is, it's not a really complicated bunch of recipes. My mother was also a working mother. So anything she cooked had to be fresh. It had to be good for us, but it also had to be fairly easy because she wasn't going to spend 6 hours in the kitchen. She'd come home from work and we'd have dinner within a half an hour to 40 minutes. So yeah, I think you can. I think you could probably do the marinara sauce. It's nothing to it.
Nice, nice. All right. So I got to give that a shot. Of course, the good thing is maybe you'll be up in Buffalo when I'm trying it out.
Okay.
So I can just pretend that people tried it and said, yes, it was good. here's your $5. Good
job. Yeah, really.
Well, awesome. So out of the cookbook, what is your, in there, if you were going to direct somebody to just the, here's, even though you have a start in the beginning, what recipe would you like to send people to first?
I think soup is always an easy thing to learn how to cook.
Okay.
It's really pretty much, there's some things called kitchen sink soup, anything that's in the kitchen,
nice.
Throw everything in there. And it's, you basically start with what the French call a mirepoix. And the French or Italians call sofrito, which is onions, garlic, celery, and carrots chopped up and sauteed lightly in oil. And then you just go from there. Add broth, add meat, add chicken. Keep it meatless and just keep adding vegetables, a little bit of pasta or rice at the end, and you got soup. And it's probably altogether maybe a 40-minute process. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, you can have homemade soup in a short amount of time. So I would say soup's a good beginner.
Excellent. I like that. I think I'll start there.
Good for you.
So where can they get the cookbook?
I have a website. It's called www.sicilianwithafrenchaccent.weebly.com. And Weebly is spelled W-E-E-B-L-Y. I also have an email. It's La Cucina Linda. It's LACUCINALINDA @gmail.com. And in either of those two sites, you can certainly connect with me and I can get a book out to people.
Excellent. And I know that you're working on some videos that are going to be on YouTube. And
yes.
So do we have a series of those coming out?
I have a few. I did more or less informally, but I also have a formal video that's not quite ready for prime time. It had a couple of glitches that we needed to work out, but those will be posted on the website as well. So just a little bit of the background about the history of the book, written in memory of my mother. And a little bit about why it's Sicilian with a French accent, besides the fact that Italians tell me that I parlo con accento francese, that I speak with a French accent. the font of the book is Sicilian with a French accent, and all the I's have an accent on them as if they were French. And also, my culture is now a bicultural mess. I'm definitely Sicilian, but I spent so much time in France speaking French, telling the children all the stories about French culture and stories and proverbs and other fables and so forth that I think in another life I very well may have been French. So there's a real blend there. So there's more to it than just a title. It's kind of who I am is the Sicilian with the French accent.
Okay, so I got to ask you before we leave this because being around the Italians that I hung out with on my Italian side of the family and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're I could see some tempers flare in the kitchen now. Now I hear we got some French and we got some Sicilian Italian thing going on here. So, you know, when you get upset, do you switch to a different language or?
I don't. I actually I'm very atypically Sicilian. I have a very very even temperament, and it's really hard to rile me. I'll use English when I'm really mad. It'll do for me.
Gotcha. Okay. I'd hang out with my my grandfather and he and my grandmother might get into it a little bit. And uh-oh. Next thing I know is he'd go, and they switch to Italian. And I was like, oh, rats.
Uh-oh. Yeah, well, you can probably surmise what they were saying.
yes. But with that being said, we have... you know, and I encourage everyone to take a look at the cookbook. You got, it's yummy stuff. And we're looking forward to YouTube videos coming out because I swear I could smell the sauce and everything cooking. And I saw one where she was making a lasagna and just very yummy. I wish you the best of
thank you.
All luck with your ventures in the cooking. It just seems like a great venture. And it's like what you have in the first life, you were meant to teach and now you're meant to cook. So it's a good
thing.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're never too old to start over.
I like that. Well, before we leave, there are a couple questions that I like to ask all my guests. And the first one is this. If you were given the chance to talk to 100 brand new teachers who haven't started teaching yet, what advice would you give them?
I would say either do it with passion or don't do it at all. Because children are, they're absolutely the most sensitive creatures on the planet. They cannot be fooled. I don't care if they're 5 or if they're 18 and off going off to college. They know when you're real. And so you need to know your business. You need to be really passionate about what you do, or they will not be excited by it. You won't be able to stand on your head enough times to excite a class if you don't mean it. So go with the right heart. No matter what you're doing, you should always have your heart 100% in it. And then you can't fail.
Excellent advice. Excellent. The last one is, do you have a teacher in your past who made a difference in your life? And if given a chance to say thank you, who would it be and what would you say?
I would probably thank again my French teacher, Harry Abrams. I would I would just thank her for being for believing in me and encouraging me and being such a good role model as a teacher. She's very knowledgeable. It was always exciting and interesting to listen to, a great sense of humor. And I think I learned a lot about things, teaching and life from her. So I would thank her again.
Excellent. Well, Linda, thank you so very much for joining me. I appreciate it and look forward to hearing more about your adventures in cooking.
Thank you, Steve. Bon appétit.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Le dîner est servi. Bon appétit, tout le monde. Andiamo a mangiare. Pranzo, a pranzo, a tavola tutti. Bon appétit.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes store. Check back often for updates and new material.
Hang tight, everyone. I'm going to let go of the wall.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.